Flyover Politic Podcast, the show for normal Americans. From this undisclosed bunker, here's your host, Tony Reed.
Somehow, in the middle of all these prosecutions, Trump has been on the road doing rallies where, you know, when you think back on all the presidents, there are so many great lines throughout history like, yes, we can, and tear down the wall, the buck stops here. And this new slogan from Trump, stop Biden's border bloodbath. Stop Biden's border bloodbath and beyond, in fact, is the... He unrolled that one in Michigan where the only border Michigan shares is with Canada, but why get bogged down with details? Trump has been very shamelessly trying to exploit the murder of a young woman in Michigan who was allegedly killed by a man she was dating who also happened to enter the country illegally. This is the kind of story he loves because it furthers the false narrative that immigrants commit more crimes here than Americans do. So he grabs onto this very sad story about this woman named Ruby to use it to get elected.
And welcome back to Flyover Politics Podcast. It is the 7th of April, year of our Lord, 2024, and that is Kimmel being Kimmel. They always lessen stuff. They always do. Before we start the show, I wanted to hit something. It's pretty big tomorrow. Yeah, there it is. The eclipse. So to give it a better flow, let me see the one I had that's a good picture. Starting at Texas, roughly at, where's the damn? I think I just deleted the good one. Yeah, I did. Old one. I just deleted the one I wanted. It is looking like, if you go by the thingy, Baba, yeah, there it is, boom. National Lab. Okay, so they have a timeline. I know for me, it is 1:55. So Dallas, Texas, 12:23, it starts. As it goes across the country, it's like 1:55 for Arkansas, Tennessee to 2 o'clock, 2:05, 3:05. Ours is a good hour. We're going to be 95%, which isn't bad. So tomorrow, you know, you got time during the day, walk outside. See that? That's really freaking cool, man. Really cool. This week we had an earthquake. I just wanted to cover that. That's just fucking crazy. Of course, because we are idiots, they said it was climate change. The left said, this is climate change, and that's why it's happening. And I still don't understand a fucking earthquake starts with climate change. But since it's election season, every time we play it, you know, every episode from now until the election's over is going to be at least some anti-Christian shit. And here's today's entry.
So fast forward, when did you see cracks in the dam? When did it start to break for you?
You know, people often ask me this, like, what was the moment? And there wasn't one moment. And I think for many of the people I interviewed, it was the same. There were many moments. There were many little things that just kind of felt like they didn't add up, or moments of exposure to people who were different, who didn't quite fit the mold of what we were told the world should be like or was like. And again, my grandfather was a really big part of that for me. I always struggled with the idea that there was something wrong with him, you know, both because he wasn't a Christian and also because, as I talk about in the book, he had come out after my grandmother passed away in the 80s, he'd come out as gay late in life. And that was a source of a lot of conflict and tension in my family. You know, this was, again, a time when, you know, the moral majority was on the rise. The Christian right was rising. My parents were very influenced by people, by, you know, right-wing leaders like James Dobson and Gary Bauer and Ralph Reed and others. and, you know, people who were fighting against same-sex marriage and fighting against abortion rights. And so the idea that my own grandfather was living in this quote-unquote lifestyle, I think, was very difficult for my parents. It really clashed with their beliefs. And it meant that we were, my siblings and I didn't spend a lot of time with him because he was seen as sort of a threatening figure. But I think over time, as I thought more about that and really just kind of felt a pull to have a relationship with my grandfather, and also through, you know, interactions with other kids here and there who were not evangelical Christians, I think they could be. I think it's early to say. And I think people who have left religion in part because of disaffection with some of the politicization of religion, both ex-evangelicals and some former Catholics, they form a pretty big group of people. And there's a host of reasons why people leave. A lot of it, some of it has to do with just simply not believing the things that their churches teach. But the polling I've seen from groups like the Public Religion Research Institute suggests that particularly the treatment of LGBTQ people by much of the...
As classmates head to the library, this group of Whitehall School District students in Ohio put on matching shirts, board a bus, and head half a mile down the road to church. There, elementary students like Emmanuel and Savannah Brady pray and study scripture.
He approached the Philistine.
This is LifeWise Academy, a nonprofit bringing the Bible back into the public school day.
The learning really helps you learn about Jesus and what happened in the past.
How popular would you say it is at school?
Mainly, like, the whole class is, like, over at LifeWise.
LifeWise started in 2018 with two schools. Today, it partners with more than 300 schools in a dozen states. It's funded by private donations, and it's legal, so long as it's optional, off-campus, and not during essential classes like math. Though to some, it represents an increasingly blurry line between the separation of church and state. Doug Shoemaker, a Whitehall administrator, says the district has allowed this kind of program for decades.
We neither discourage participation or reward or encourage it.
Dad Daryl Brady says LifeWise lessons positively motivate Emmanuel and Savannah.
Do you think church has a place in school?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to bring churches back into schools for a long time.
Some of these sessions take place when library periods would be happening in school. Mm-hmm. Are you worried about your kids missing out on that experience?
Not at all. I mean, there's 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New.
So in there, you had PBS blaming churches following the Bible for politicization of religion. Yeah, don't follow the Bible. Come on, what are you doing, man? You fucking crazy, man? You can't follow the fucking Bible. Freak out an offsite Bible education for public schools. Now listen, we have a thing in America called freedom of speech. You have Wiccan clubs, you have Satan clubs, you have all these other clubs. So why can't Christians have their club? I mean, has anybody thought of that? Why can't we have a club? You know what I mean? Kids want to go offsite and have a Bible reading club. Why can't they? It's not on school grounds. Why do you guys freak out about it so much? I mean, I just don't understand. If you don't believe in God, why do you care other people believe in God? I mean, seriously. If you don't believe, why do you care if others do? I don't get it. Just like I don't understand that there's sexual harassment in the White House, and the media just kind of lets it, only one.
I'd like to ask you about my reporting on Anthony Bernal, who's one of the most powerful figures in this White House. The First Lady reportedly refers to him as her work husband. Three former colleagues have made allegations of sexual harassment against him, building on prior reports of bullying. Some of these sources have worked with you. I think you find them credible. But Chief of Staff Zients issued a statement dismissing the allegations as unfounded attacks without even investigating them, which my sources say they're alarmed about because they say it could chill sexual harassment and bullying reports. How can the White House potentially or possibly justify not investigating these allegations when the president says he will fire
people?
So
a couple things. I don't know who your sources are, so I can't. Just with all due respect, I can't speak to that, right? I just don't. I mean, they're blind sources. I can't speak to that. What I can speak to is you saw a statement from our chief of staff, Jeffrey Zients, saying they are unfounded. You saw a very strong statement from Anthony himself. I have known Anthony for some time now. I've known him for more than a decade. I've worked closely with him, and I consider him a friend.
I'm going to press you on this, though, because the president said he would fire people for disrespecting colleagues, and there's no investigation.
I just said to you that they have said themselves, Jeffrey Zients and also Anthony Bernal, that they are unfounded. I can't speak to your sources. Those are your sources to speak to. I cannot. But no
special status come from the first lady shielding him as some sources.
Anthony Bernal, longtime Washington insider, been treating people like shit forever. Yeah, he doesn't raise a welt on the left side. That's why we care. It's the same team. These are some of the pictures people did, and of course, it's climate change. It's just so fucking stupid. I don't understand. That's the stuff that I don't understand. I have a hard time finding out why? Anybody? Still looking for the plant bomb? FBI and pipe bombs. FBI embedded themselves. We still don't know who did the J6 stuff, but. We sure got a lot of sound bites about it. We're going to start with, you know who it is. It's good old Nicole Wolf.
So Republicans have been on their back foot when it comes to January 6th with an intentional refusal to accept the facts that led to the violent insurrection on the nation's capital. See this latest attempt by Louisiana Republican Clay Higgins, in which he accuses the FBI of entrapping rioters in the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Higgins said on a podcast that ghost buses took undercover FBI agents to Washington, D.C. They posed as Trump supporters, and then they tricked the mob rioters into carrying out the violent assault on the U.S. Capitol. Yeah. Our friend Luke Broadwater, writing in the New York Times, put it this way. Even by a conspiracy theorist standards, the wild claims made by Higgins stand out. And if you think he's just another loon, nope. Not in Mike Johnson's caucus. More from the New York Times, quote, far from relegating him, Higgins, to the fringe of their increasingly fractured conference, House Republicans have elevated him. Of course they have. They made him the chairman of the subcommittee overseeing border enforcement, and Speaker Mike Johnson named him one of 11 impeachment managers tasked with trying to remove the Homeland Security Secretary from office in a Senate trial set to take place next week. We're back with Donnie and the Rev. I mean, Rev, they're playing government people, but they don't do anything for the people.
Their people are not on the agenda. I mean, they're playing this kind of sportsmanlike game. Like, this is some.
Well, the other way it happens is Republicans successfully move the Overton window faster than Democrats can get themselves in a room and do the things that value, that Democrats value, build consensus, make a strategy. The fact is that January 6th was a deadly insurrection in which Trump supporters beat cops with flagpoles, full stop. That's it. You don't need to tell the whole story of January 6th. I don't know who this guy is. I've never heard of him. I've never seen him on social media. He's telling lunatic stories.
They had an answer on Jeopardy, and people flipped about it. Flipped. So stuff from Todd in Oregon, New York, to pay $17.5 million for forcing removal of jobs in a mugshot. It's claimed that only 1.6 of U.S. citizens were actually slaves. I never knew that statistic, so thanks, Todd. That makes sense to me, because most of us didn't have anybody around during that time. Like, I wasn't even here. None of my bloodline was here in the 1860s, so I don't get it. Migrant monthly payments in New York City is higher than veteran compensation. Now, that completely doesn't surprise me at all. It just doesn't explain me at all. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, that's where we're at. That's the shit I'm talking about. Every fucking podcast, there's stupid shit like that. And the left doesn't understand that that's pretty fucked up. And they forget that vets are everything. They're gay, trans, women, men, black, white. It don't fucking matter. It don't matter. That's a good one right there. This dude got arrested, bossed, arrested illegally for raping a minor. He was caught in 2022 and released. and then went out and raped again. Because why would we stop somebody from raping kids? Are you fucking crazy? Oh, man. Come on, man. So this is the new FDA stuff, and Biden's latest scam is a new rule, all right, that all new vehicles sold in the U.S. be electric or hybrid by 2032. In other words, ban of gas-powered vehicles. And anybody that's here knows we aren't there. If you're paying attention, we're just not there. We don't have, A, the infrastructure. Even they put a bunch of money into it, it isn't going to be everywhere. B, we don't have the cars. And C, there is so much more important shit in the world. How about Israel? Here's Amapur. Basically what happened, just as you guys probably know, you're smart, is that the White House decided to change track so they can keep fucking people in Michigan voting for them. So they decided to say, fuck all you motherfuckers who are Jewish. We need Israel just to bend over backwards for Hamas because, yeah, why not? So Amapur and company, they're all for because they're fucking Islamists. So here's him. And used to be a general, had honor, piece of shit. Now spokesman for the White House.
You know, we spoke to Queen Rania on this program several times. In fact, she was actually the first leader to come out and talk about double standards. And her interview with us was incredibly widely seen. And she said, similar to you, that, you know, there is a double standard in the way Palestinian suffering has always been reported and continues to be reported. It is really hard to hear you say and hear others say that they don't look at us as people.
Because they were deemed animals, terrorists, Hamas sympathizers. The thing is, Israel reminds me a lot with Trump. Remember when Trump was saying lie after lie, one atrocious thing after the other, and by the time people deal with this, he's already moved on, and people's like, all right, that's Donald Trump. Israel's doing the same. You know, they're doing, remember when we were out all the rage about like babies killed in incubators, then baby killed of hungers, and then people killed in stampede, and then it's old news now. Remember when we were talking about did Hamas or did Israel bomb the Al Ahli hospital, and since then Israel bombed 36 hospitals? It's just they move too fast. And by the time you just like catch up and you corner them, it's like, well, I'm entitled. I mean, like, if you talk about it, you're anti-Semitic. I'm doing this to protect myself. Here's the thing. Every time Israel say like, Israel have the right to defend itself. Israel had the right to exist. And I would say like, Israel have the right to go F itself.
That's your stand up.
On October 7th, President Biden said, my administration's support for Israel's security is rock solid and unwavering. That is not true anymore, correct?
No, it is true. Still true today.
How is his support unwavering, but you're also reconsidering policy choices?
Both can be true.
They cannot be true. They're completely different things.
No. I'm sorry.
He is wavering.
No. Come on.
How is he not wavering?
Come on now. As I said, and as it says in that readout, we made clear, and he made it clear to the prime minister in his call that our support for Israel's self-defense remains ironclad. They face a range of threats, and the United States isn't going to walk away. Our support is ironclad and consistent. It's not going to stop. It's not going to waver. But will there perhaps be some policy changes we might have to make if we don't see policy changes out of Israel? Yes.
How is that unwavering? It sounds like you guys are trying to have it both ways here.
No. I don't know that I can.
We support Israel, but we are going to make all these changes because we don't support Israel.
I didn't say we're going to make changes. I said we need to see how Israel responds to the humanitarian crises in Gaza and how they respond to protection of aid workers. I think we can all agree. I think you would agree. You don't want to see innocent civilians killed or targeted, do you? You don't want to see Gazans starve. You don't want to see famine in Gaza,
Nobody
do you?
Wants
of course
to see
not.
That, but you're a policymaker and you're talking about policy changes. So, that is not what you were talking about on October 7th.
Because
when
things
it was
have.
Solid and unwavering.
On October 7th, there wasn't near famine in Gaza. On October 7th, there wasn't a diminution of trucks getting into Gaza. On October 7th, we didn't see thousands and thousands of innocent people killed. I just have to take issue with the premise of the question.
Okay, just the last one then. Where is President Biden on any of this? When he wants to talk about how angry he is or frustrated he is about the high cost of insulin, he comes out and gives an impassioned speech. Where is he on any of this?
The thing I don't understand is, why do Jewish people vote for the left? Because this is not new. They're always like this. They will drop, they drop black people for gay people. They drop Jews for freaking Muslims in 2.3 seconds because they need those micro demographics. Micro. It's all about the micro. You know you're fucked up when Chris Cuomo says you're fucked.
I know that people in the White House monitor what I say. Good. And because President Biden and Secretary of State Blinken won't come on the show, I am forced to speak at you rather than to you. This is not my choice. I understand. I talk to people within your party at very high levels, elected and unelected, all the time. I know that the war in the Middle East is a major concern for you in the election. And I think that explains why you misplayed it the way you did today. Okay? You gave a mixed message. You talked tough, what sounded like a threat to your main ally in the region, and then you said you're giving them more weapons. You're treating the war against Israel as if it were another political point of compromise. This is wrong, but this is wrong, and we need to do better here, and there has to be change, and blah, 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 ceasefire. A lot of words, a lot of conditional language, a lot of half-speak, a lot of appeasement in a situation that is not about balance. It is about realities. And I get the pressure from the left. I get it, and I get how tight the race is. And I get how worried you are that you're not going to have the same base you had the last time. But that is not an excuse to be weak. There is a primary reality, okay? And we seem to have forgotten it. Hamas is a terror organization. You designated them as that. They stole people. They need to give the people they stole back to us, to Israel, first. The hostages have become an afterthought. And that is wrong. And the reason it has happened is even more wrong. The reason it has happened is because other political
And what's worse is that I think the left is starting to wake up. So Charlemagne the God went on the Tonight Show or the whatever that fucking stupid show is on Comedy Channel. And he said DEI is bullshit.
Every one of you has sat through one of those diversity training sessions and thought, this is some bullshit. And it's not just you. Over 900 studies have shown that DEI programs don't make the workplace better for minorities. In fact, it can actually make things worse because of the backlash effect.
Charlemagne the God went on to liken DEI to DARE programs, remember those, and saying they don't work.
DEI training is like DARE for racism. And and you all know how effective that was. I was sitting there going, oh shit, there's a ton of fun drugs I should try. I didn't even know about Molly. Thanks, Officer John. But the biggest failure of DEI is that the number of black people in power at big companies is basically the same as it was 5 years ago.
So I saw this clip going viral on X. I think he makes a lot of good points, speaking to how these studies have shown that it actually doesn't work, that it's not leading to increased representation of minority people in the business world, and also voicing something that I've voiced before, which is that when I've the one time in my life where I went through one of these kinds of things at a large corporation, the minority people who had to sit through it seemed to hate it just as much as everyone else.
I think what's important to note here, I made this exact argument that Charlemagne the God is making yesterday, that the goal should be to actually make the experiences of, you know, diverse people in the workplace not an experience of prejudice, that it's not a kind of extra bonus to non-white men and straight white men in the workplace. It's an acknowledgement that there are inequities, that in terms of their actual treatment and opportunity because of their identity, and that it's a goal. The goal is to get rid of the prejudices that exist against people. And that these programs are not actually doing that, and they're largely HR programs that are intended to guard the company against any kind of lawsuit from employees who articulate frustration and actually sue over the fact that they have been discriminated against in the workplace. The company can then say, I've got these policies in place. I did everything that I could do. That being said, I don't think that we can have this conversation and make these kinds of, I think, substantive and good criticisms without pointing out what people like Christopher Rufo have said their goal is with respect to the term DEI. Much like he said explicitly with respect to critical race theory, his goal is to take these terms and make them sort of amorphous so that people can project whatever concern they have on this specific word. And so they no longer might say, not everybody, but some people who might no longer feel able to say something that is frankly more explicitly racist can now say they have a concern about DEI, and it kind of whitewashes the complaint. We saw this a little bit with the Elon Musk complaining about the existence of black pilots. There's no literature, there's no statistic, there's no study that shows that black pilots are any less safe than pilots of any other race, that they're involved in any more incidences of crashes or other kind of error than any other kind of race. Yet he posts a picture of a black pilot and says, is this DEI? Would you feel safe to fly on this plane? Or reacts to a post like that positively. And you can kind of accept that in the mainstream in the way you wouldn't be able to make an open statement about how I just don't like black pilots, you know?
I think DEI, unlike critical race theory, actually refers to something that is a bit more tangible. I mean,
critical race theory is very tangible.
Well, it's an academic discipline. It's not, there wasn't actually a critical race theory program. It was a component of the curriculum for law schools and graduate schools, and it made its way. The term appears in some of the training materials in diversity workshops. DEI, unlike that term, is an agenda and a program, and there are people who work in that field who do that kind of teaching and instructing in corporations and in schools and in other places. So I do think some conservatives have broadened the term beyond any recognition, but at least when you're talking about that, you're pointing to a more tangible thing that people have had to undergo, a lot of people, in their workplace and in their school.
When someone says, is this pilot DEI, or says that the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore fell down because of DEI, is that a reference to a diversity program at an institution?
Well, what they're referencing there is affirmative action, is race-based hiring. Which, well,
what part of a boat piloted, as I understand it, what was it? Where was the boat from? Spanish, right? Something like that. Well, at what point is the boat piloted by non-black people running into a bridge have to do?
Non-black people? I don't think it has anything to do with anything.
Well, so how is that DEI?
Who was saying that? Who was saying that it was DEI?
It was
piloted?
A viral Twitter phenomenon, that a video of Baltimore's mayor talking about the bridge falling, and the fact of the bridge falling itself was characterized as a DEI problem.
Yeah, and people, including Christopher Rufo and Christina Pashaw, said you should not refer to the mayor as a DEI mayor. It's an elected position. He's literally chosen by the people. You can have other criticisms of the mayor if they're deserved, but it's not a DEI thing. Maybe you were out that day. Jessica and I discussed that on the show. I said that. In terms of the pilots, I mean, obviously it would be racist to say that, like, black pilots fly the planes or ships or whatever the vehicle is less well than anyone else. I think the criticism they're trying to make is that we shouldn't select pilots or basically people for any other profession or be more likely to hire them based on their race, right? Isn't that an uncontroversial
statement? Right, so the question is, if these programs are designed to try to prevent people from not being hired because of their race, because that's right. Where we're coming from.
That's what we all believe. You should not be hired because of your race.
What program do you think? But people are discriminated against on the basis of their race. So what programs do you advocate?
They're discriminated in favor of because
no,
of their
they're
race.
Discriminated against because of their race.
When they
so
have
what, and that's
hiring,
why DEI programs.
Man, I tell you, I think they're fucking up. I just have this feeling that they're really fucking up because they're still on this shit. Since Roe was overturned, I have met with women who refused to care during a miscarriage. That's completely a lie. And DNC will be conducted to save the white, the freaking human. If the baby is dead, they're going to take it out. It's such a fucking lie. All this shit is lies. They're on the borderline of fucking truth all the time. And I don't understand why people fall for it. But, you know, in this crazy world we live in, and we got The View dogging The Rock talking about stuff with Biden, and basically this is a sound. CNN panics over Nebraska looking to join 48 states. Now imagine 269 to 269 tie in the Electoral College. That could become much more likely. Nebraska changes how it awards electoral votes. They don't want partials. Everybody's going to what it is, whole state or non-state, and they can't win that way, all right? That's not how they win. They win being fucking crooked and lining shit up like you wouldn't fucking believe. So here is those sound bites, because we don't have real policies. We just have the...
Besides the earthquake going on Fox and Friends, superstar Dwayne The Rock Johnson was asked about...
Yeah.
He was asked about... Are his relatives here? What? He was asked about putting his weight behind Joe Biden in the last election. So what?
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no. I'm not going to do that, because what I realized, what that caused back then was something that tears me up in my guts back then and now, which is division.
So a couple of questions. First of all, should...
Maybe they're not as relatives.
Yeah. So the question, first of all, should I pay any attention to who gives an interview on Fox where they lie every day? Yeah. Number one. Number two, should celebrities publicly endorse public figures? Or they should keep their
politics to themselves. If they want to. I mean,
celebrities are U.S. citizens, are American citizens. You don't lose your rights as a citizen because you are a celebrity. But, you know, I remember, I'm so old, like I was telling Molly today, I said, you know, I remember being at a Republican convention where The Rock spoke, and I remember him being at the DNC. It was in the year 2000 in Philadelphia. And when he spoke, he wasn't there. It was George W. Bush that was getting... the nomination. He wasn't there endorsing. He was there raising awareness for voting and getting young people and his followers to be involved.
Like Taylor Swift is.
Yeah. So look, I think for him, the cause of division aspect is a real one. He also went to the DNC that year, and I think everybody's entitled to do whatever they want.
And you know, he's been quite political. I agree with you. And he's been very engaged and very involved. I do think we're living in a time where we have someone running for president that is an existential threat to democracy. That is where we are at. Someone who has 88, you know, criminal charges, 4 indictments, someone that has vowed to be a dictator on the very first day he takes office. Now is the time. If you have a platform, you must be active. You must speak out. That's how I feel. And I generally don't think that celebrities should be forced to be politically active.
Not forced.
But right now, if you have a platform, you have an obligation.
Well, Reba McEntire was the one, I think, that said once, I don't want to speak about my politics because what I do is music and it's unifying. And when I go to a concert, she goes, I want everyone there to feel welcome and together. I don't want to divide anyone. So
she can do it at the end of the show.
But the point is there are very activist people that are entertainers. Kerry Washington is a self-proclaimed, I'm an activist. Yeah. You have Jane Fonda. Activist. When you're not an activist and you happen to have a big platform, I think encouraging people to vote is the most important part, because I think it's so vapid to imagine that just because someone says, I'm going to vote for this, that the sheep will fall in line and follow. Like, that minimizes voters everywhere. Yeah. So I don't think it matters who they're voting for. It's public participation.
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, you know, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and it's my job then. I felt like that then. It's my job now to exercise my influence and share with this is who I'm going to endorse. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no.
Look, Dana, though, this is really important, because Democrats and Republicans have been saying throughout the cycle, this is going to be a very close election, and it really could come down to just a few electoral votes, a few thousand votes in states that otherwise really haven't been attended to by either of the big campaigns.
Let's give our viewers a scenario here that is, again, not out of the realm of possibility at all. If Joe Biden wins that Nebraska vote, that one electoral vote, and he wins back again, wins the so-called blue wall, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. You have 270 to 268, so he wins the presidency. Now let's see the scenario where that Nebraska law is changed. 269 to 269, an electoral college tie.
Right, which goes to a whole different arena, and it puts us into a morass that we don't usually experience in electoral and campaign politics. That's why, and this is entirely possible. We've seen in the past few election cycles that the blue wall is breachable, and that states that are usually Republican-leaning can be flipped, Arizona and Georgia. So it really could come down to a few electoral votes, and it could come down to one congressional district in Nebraska.
Absolutely fascinating, and we are going to be watching to see what the Nebraska legislature.
I want everybody to just, I'm going to play a kind of a long soundbite. It's about 2 minutes. This is just a Biden bumping his gums.
By the way, folks, I say to my dad, Dad, they're mispronouncing Balmer. My dad and the Biden, please sit down. The Biden family goes all the way back to being watermen in this bay for a long, long time, back in the mid-1800s. It's not the same, but I know a little bit about what it's like to lose a piece of your soul, to get that phone call in the middle of the night to say family members are gone. I've been there. It's feeling like having a black hole in your chest, like you're being sucked in, unable to breathe. The anger, the pain, the depth of the loss is so profound. And we know it's hard to believe, and you're probably not going to believe me, but I can tell you now from personal experience, the day is going to come when the memory of your loved one, as you walk by that park or the church or something that you shared together, is going to bring a smile to your lips before it brings a tear to your eye. It's going to happen. It's going to take a while, but I promise you it will happen. And that's when you know you're going to be able to make it. I promise you it will come. Our prayers for you is that time comes sooner rather than later. One of the things that I learned early on was that I had a very close relationship with the Greek American community, for real, in the heart, and real, and the church there as well.
By the way, folks, I say to my dad, Dad, they're mispronouncing Biltimer. The Biden family goes all the way back to watermen in the bay for a long, long time in the mid-1800s. And Biden compares himself to losing son Bo with a family of six construction workers. Most were immigrants. All were Marylanders. Biden grazed Baltimore. That's how the USA did it covered. Not the fact that he lied again. None of that shit. Fuck that. We don't do that. But we do that. One thing I learned early was that I had a very close relationship with the Greek American community. Oh, wow. You're Greek now. Fucking awesome, dude. Man, this dude is like everything. He's fucking been everything. This is actually Pennsylvania HR workers doing a meeting about voting for
everybody, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Pennsylvania, you have to get out and register to vote. And you have to vote for Biden-Harris. Because that other guy, the orange man, like this, he is going to take away your Social Security. And a lot of you are
He's a bad guy. I need
votes. No, he's not. That's right.
Don't take away and he's going to take away your health care. Because kids right now, until they're 26, can be on their parents' health care. And the orange man wants to stop that. Woo! Oh, no.
That might not
be. Oh, no. Okay, everybody, Pennsylvania in the house. Vote for Biden. Vote for Harris.
Yeah, I don't know what that shit is, but that's just fucking crazy. Raising money, folks like you, with Trump and Trump. And this, I can't get in this because it's below the paywall. Cash on hand, $192 million. 93. I don't think that's true. I don't think so either. Here's some more earthquake stuff. I think it's really awesome. I think you're holding a position where you make laws. You need to educate on basic things and common sense. You must utilize evidence and science. Creating laws based on ignorance and emotion hurts America. Can you explain 5.3 from 783, dear? Also, fault lines. Do you know what those are? Tectonic plates. And this is all because they said, I experienced my first earthquake. We never get earthquakes. The climate crisis is real. Elon Musk, too much of the environmental movement are morphed into human extinction movement. And that's so fucking true, man. They're weird dudes. Another one. Can climate change play a role in frequency of earthquakes? The quake in New Jersey today was magnitude 4.8. So far, there have been only 13 quakes in the area that were deemed damaging. Guys, how does a... How? Got the AP. Anonymous users are dominating right-wing discussion online. They're also spreading false information. So are you, AP. This is a Biden-appointed judge. Absolutely torched the Biden-Garland DOJ, and the double standards are excoriating and glaring. They apply certain laws to punish the political opposition while ignoring those laws to protect the president's son. This smells like corruption. And it is. It is, it is, it is. So we're going to go into our woke section. Going to play videos and talk about them today because we've got a couple topics I'm going to bring up. First one is going to be, I don't even know what university this is. Let me get my shit together. I'm going to get my shit together. Well, shit, I don't think I can. Oh, here it is. Rutgers University. Oh, wait a minute. Do I have another one? Oh, I do. I have this one. Sorry. Fascism alert. Not satire. Washington State has passed a law offering cash as incentive to report hate speech. Did I not tell you that was coming? Did I not say we're going to be in Europe because the left just can't help themselves? Rutgers University had a president had a town hall with students that devoted its anarchy, and he fled with half the police present. Jewish students who came to ask about how the admin would keep them safe on campus were left to beg remaining police or escort them out. Yeah. That's not good, because it's just like no blarney. Ireland's Socialist Democratic Sinn Féin Party backpedals on hate speech bill. Yeah, we're Europe. Turn it up, turn
it on. Whether Joe Biden believes this madness or is simply too weak to resist it, his administration has been completely hijacked by the radical left. The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy.
We don't want two states. We want 48. We want 48. We want 48. This place requires 48. There's nothing here to celebrate.
This is in Oregon. A parent in Oregon allegedly asked for a copy of the kid's school sex ed curriculum, and the school refused to send it. They only allowed him to see it with the school walls on a school computer. Why are schools hiding lesson plans like this? I mean, this shit, I'm not even going to read it. Sign, gender, birth, da-da-da-da-da. It's all the same shit, and they won't let it out of the school because they know what they're doing is fucking wrong. They know that, but... Yeah, why would we? Why would we? What? All right, we're going to do some video watching now. This one comes from Libs of TikTok, I believe, is where I got it. This is a dude on a... No, it's not. It's from Placida the Hated. Won't somebody please think of the subway punchers? New York City girlies, be careful out there. I'm scared to death here, but remember to ask people around you for help. Because this guy doesn't look hinged.
So I'm the girl next to him in that video. It's funny because in the comments, so many people are guessing what I'm thinking and feeling in that moment based on their own biases. Like, there are some people saying, oh my god, that girl looks so afraid. Why is nobody helping her? Where are the men to come save her? And then there are some people giving out to the creator for being scared, being like, that girl beside him isn't bothered. She sees this every day. And I know this is really topical because there's like the subway puncher and things like this. But I think what's really important to do in that moment is literally just keep your wits about you. I had my headphones off. I wasn't reading my book. I'm just looking straight down. What was really telling about the comments in that video, though, was that nobody had empathy for the guy who was obviously experiencing some sort of mental health. In case things do get violent, you can only protect yourself. But where is the empathy for somebody who has no support? Why is he having that episode on the subway?
We don't need empathy for that. We need fucking police for that. That's the problem. All this empathy shit. Fuck the empathy shit. Let's just go back to, hey, what the fuck, Chuck? Where are the cops? Then I got this, and this is a long one, but we're going to watch it together. It is, God, I don't remember her name. She's a Blaze, and it is about incels transmaxing. I didn't know this is a real thing, so I'm going to cue this up and then get to the slides first. It's a guy named Chow Time. The Chow Time podcast. Chow Time. I really like this one a lot. I watch it a lot. He's pretty high tech now. It doesn't look that ghetto. It looks way better. Oh, you fucking dumbass, Tony. Where are you at, man? This new setup. I don't like this new setup at all. The vertical kind of sucks ass. All right, let me try to find. I am so off today on slides. This is Ed Kraskasine. There are plenty of fathers that have been in the same shower as their young daughter. Virtually all pediatricians and child psychologists support it up until a certain age. I'm so afraid of him coming in the shower with me, and I've waited until at night to take a shower. Ashley Biden. Yeah, I never took a shower with my daughter. Nope. Never happened. All right, here we go. Men are transitioning to enjoy female privileges in controversial new documentary, L.A. Bible. And, oh, you know what? I didn't even see this. Oh, shit. Can I get this fucking thing? Probably not. Nah, I think it's a Rocky Boot ad. That's probably not what we want. Okay, I'm going to try to get this. This is a Channel 4 one, so I'll fuck around with this and find out while we're going to the next slide. Shit, I don't have the slides, dude. Did I get it? No, I didn't. It's in the show. So let's watch this show here. Yeah, let's go back to vid. And I'm going to speed it up a little bit and get to where we need to be.
Back to its friends that... So this is a story about that. So please like and subscribe down below. I'd really appreciate that. Let's get to this ugly chow. It's chow time, guys.
It's chow time, motherfuckers.
I am now at the point where I fully believe that modernity as a whole was just a terrible, terrible mistake. And if you guys aren't there with me yet, you're thinking, Lauren, I know some things are pretty rough right now, but it's not all bad. Well, allow me to regretfully inform you about the issue of transmaxing. And if you don't...
Yeah. I didn't know about this goddamn term until I just saw a snippet of this video. I did not watch this full video.
I'm like, I double stop because that'd be really stupid. But
it came out yesterday.
So. Yet know what transmaxing is, then I suggest you just take a minute to embrace your life and worldview as it is now, because you can't go back after this. But essentially, transmaxing is when incels, males who are involuntarily celibate, they transition into being women, I guess. Not.
All right, we're gonna shit can that, and I'm gonna download this fucking shit, and I'm just gonna play it. So we're gonna play the excerpts from Transmaxing document.
I was only 5'8 and had a 2.7-inch erect penis. So what do you think of changing your sex because you have a 2.7-inch erect penis?
Transmaxing is
a transition for personal gain.
I don't want to spend 70 hours a week working.
Get a personal trainer and become a true man.
Well, I don't want to do all those things.
It was a cold and calculated decision.
Plus, you don't have to worry about, like, birth control or anything.
You've never worn a dress.
No.
And does your boyfriend know about the trans maxing?
This removes testosterone.
You should potentially change your sex just to get your cheaper car insurance.
In this episode of Life Uncovered, I'm entering the controversial world of transmaxing. What is transmaxing? Well, according to the Transmaxing Manifesto, it's when a man transitions to become a woman, not because they identify as a woman, but because they think life as a woman is just better, and they want all the apparent benefits of being a woman and operating in female spaces. The Transmaxer Manifesto walks men through all the positives of female life, such as cheaper car insurance. I'm on my way to spend a few days with Sammy, who started their transmaxing journey a little over a year ago.
So Sammy identifies as a transmaxer. The idea is that Sammy didn't have much luck in relationships in love as a man. The kind of transmaxing ideology has told them that if they transition to a woman, they'll have a lot more success. So Sammy is kind of very much into that transition and has agreed to talk to me about it. It is undeniably a controversial topic, potentially the most controversial one of this Life Uncovered series. How you doing, Sammy? I'm Ben.
Nice to meet you.
Really nice to meet you. Should we go for a little stroll? I like this place, got a nice little spot. A little tiny fridge.
Yeah, I got all the essentials.
Can I see what's in the fridge?
Probably fuck all, but...
Let's see, moment of truth.
Oh, I've got some cakes in there.
I feel you're a big fan of AA batteries.
Yeah, you need a lot, because I, you know, game quite a bit.
Can you pull out the pre-transition clothes just so I can have a look?
Sure.
This is old Sammy. Flannel yeah. Shirt.
Yeah, pretty basic, not too flashy. This is me when I was 20. Hair is starting to recede a little bit. Not a great time in my life. I wouldn't look at that and think, yeah, that is a masculine dude. When I saw this picture, I was like, yeah, I need to do something about my appearance.
What did you think a man was at this point?
Dominant, successful, outgoing, confident, strong, resilient.
How did you think you sat in relation to that?
I was a far cry from that. I would take a lot of work to even get close to that.
I'm looking at that and I'm like, yeah, you look like a guy.
I look like a guy, but I don't look like a manly guy.
Would you say that your life was slightly incel-esque?
Sure. Yeah, somewhat isolated.
Could you get up the kind of transmaxing manifesto? The transmaxing manifesto?
Yeah, I'm sure I can find it.
It says there are many potential benefits from transitioning to male to female. The superiority of female aesthetics. Female spaces are cleaner and generally more pleasant. I mean, that is a controversial one.
I don't think it's controversial to say that female spaces don't have piss all over the floor.
Becoming male to female transsexual is a way better option than being an incel as a male. High quality males will be attracted to you. Being able to extract resources from males.
Yeah, having dinner paid for you or getting drinks at a bar.
Has it happened? Yeah, so like people have started buying you dinners and stuff.
Yeah, I've been offered a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, this one says you can get cheaper car insurance.
You should take every advantage given to you.
You should potentially change your sex just to get cheaper car insurance or...
I don't think that's a primary reason to transition, but it's definitely a secondary reason.
It's got a kind of testimonial, the experience of becoming female. I was only 5'8 and had a 2.7 inch erect penis. Since being on the hormones, I've lost weight, so I'm closer to 5'7 now. I've been on estrogen for 6 months. What do you think of changing your sex because you have a 2.7 inch erect penis and you're not that tall?
I think that's pretty reasonable.
So it's better to just disregard the penis altogether?
You're not going to please a woman with a 2.7 inch penis.
One day when I was wanking, I realized I was still hard after coming. Then I came again and again. I came so many times I wasn't horny for 4 days afterwards, at which point I came over 10 times. A week after that, I came 40 plus times in less than an hour. What's that got to do with transitioning to become a woman?
I mean, you know, some people do desire that.
Desire what?
An extreme, intense sexual experience.
All right, so I've just stepped out for a second, and I've got to say that manifesto is one of the wildest things I've read in a long time. You know, this is a group of people who identify as male, saying that they are effectively kind of playing the system. You know, they are
transitioning because they think life as a woman is easier. They think they're going to get males who they can take the resources from. They think they might be able to get cheaper car insurance. And it just feels like something that is really going to anger kind of a lot of people.
Now, I'm going to play this just for a second, but look at this, where they think they're all going to get hooked up. They're going to have good sex. Everything's going to be great. They'll have better status. I mean, it's the craziest fucking thing I've ever heard of. I've just ever heard of. I've seen a lot of shit in my life. But I never seen that. That shit's fucking cray, cray. Here's another one. Men say they are, this is a different documentary.
And somebody asked what it was regarding, and I said, it's regarding Russell Brand being a sex offender.
Okay, this is the wrong video. That kind of fucking sucks. That's what I downloaded. All right, then we're going to go into this other lady. I picked this shit up on the net. It's, this girl's, she's also completely fucking cray-cray. She is, Tasha, what the fuck's her name? Tasha Peterson is the person. And she is an a vegan terrorist, basically. She fucks with everybody over veganism. And I've been picking this up. This is one where she interrupted a
the animal rights activist who ran onto the ground during WA's first ever AFL Women's Derby says she's not sorry for the stadium stunt. Her actions have drawn harsh criticism. She's been banned from Optus for 3 years and is now facing a $12,000 fine. But the 26-year-old says she would do it again.
It was a moment set up for women to take centre stage. And they did, but not in the way we thought they would.
And that was a wonderful finish, but it was all about this clunk in the goal square. Big finish and nailed.
In front of more than 35,000 people, Tash Peterson hit the ground running, leaping from the grandstand to grandstand.
She calls herself the vegan booty on OnlyFans.
Okay, guys, an animal rights activist has just crossed the lines onto Optus Stadium.
Peterson held a banner that read, "Right to Rescue."
And the purpose of my action was on behalf of the animals who are suffering immensely in abhorrent conditions.
Fremantle midfielder Kiara Bowers laid her 19th tackle for the game to stop the activist in her tracks.
Thought I'd get an extra tackle. No, look, we're here to play football and, you know, we just wanted to get on with the game. That was it.
Her actions have drawn criticism, but she says she isn't sorry.
Like, I understand that, you know, it's an important game for them and, but yeah, I don't apologise.
The historic clash was raising money for victims of our nation's bushfire crisis, with all ticket proceeds going to the Australian Red Cross.
I'm willing to put myself out there for these animals because, yeah, I've seen their suffering and I want to be a voice for them.
Tash Peterson has been banned from the venue for 3 years by Optus Stadium and charged by police for trespassing. Her 40-second dash could cost her $12,000. It's not the first time Peterson has caused controversy.
Horse racing kills!
She's protested in a number of supermarkets dressed as a cow.
She's a fucking Fruit Loop. This is what she dressed. She got in a, like, she was a fucking piece of meat in a meat case. That's an interesting concept. And I don't know if that's actually going to work. Next one. This girl, meat tray, notorious vegan activist, lies in human meat tray near naked and splattered in fake blood. These are some of the stuff she puts where she gets butt naked to fight for vegan rights, which, you know, that's different. She calls it an animal holocaust. Yeah, got a shirt, animal holocaust. Her goal is La Enviro. We believe the animals should be abused for dairy, food. Basically, you're supposed to eat vegetables, and if you don't, you're a fucking piece of dog shit. So I'm going to play the next one. It's a little longer, but it shows people destroying her stupid article.
You need to eat more meat. You're looking a bit washed out.
I eat plenty of vegan meat.
Vegan meat? That's like saying I've got loads of nighttime days.
Did God tell you to murder animals?
No, murder is a legal term. You cannot murder an animal. You can kill an animal, but you're using legal terms.
He's out of line, but he's right.
By definition, murder is taking someone's life, whether
taking
they're
someone's
a human.
Life.
Well, non-human animals are someone.
It's false. Not this time.
All right, will you marry a donkey?
No, I'm not interested in that.
All right,
why
well, it's not a person then.
No, non-human animals are people.
All right, thank you. No, I admire your ideology. You're wrong.
A vegan and a vegetarian are jumping off a cliff. If you hit the bottom first, who wins?
I don't know.
Who wins?
Society.
What are you eating today?
Slightly off fish. Because I had it in my fridge for a couple of days, not a few days.
Yummy!
You look like you're enjoying it though.
I am. Plants feel pain in a different way to you. So you're projecting your way that you feel pain onto them.
Why would a plant evolve to feel pain?
So it knows when it's being eaten.
Exactly.
So it knows.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
For killing plants.
Do you know who that is? That's a baby chicken.
No, it's an adult one.
Would you say you're against animal abuse?
Have you ever eaten meat?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I did.
Apart from when you're on your own.
What did he say?
23 years.
Oh, I've done 15.
Yeah.
There you go, you know how to cook it, mate.
Yeah, but I know that I can live without it because I don't want to be a fucking animal abuser.
But you were for 23 years.
Yeah, because I was brainwashed like the masses.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you something.
We don't care.
The Animal Rebellion protest group says the white paint symbolises milk and was intended to represent the destruction of a dairy industry. Also represents, of course, petulant vandalism and the destruction of a historic building. But are they, in fact, just annoying the hell out of all of us?
So in your mind, if it's illegal, then it's wrong. But if it's legal, it's okay?
That's what the law is, yeah.
Did you know that slavery used to be legal and killing homosexuals used to be legal?
Yeah, but it's not anymore, is it?
Got him.
Why would chucking paint all over Big Ben persuade someone like me to give up meat?
What we're doing is we're asking the government to support farmers and fishing communities in a transition to a plant-based food system because we know that animal agriculture is a leading cause of the climate crisis.
What?
That wasn't my question.
Are you against animal abuse?
I want everyone here to do one thing. Okay. Type in vegan parents jailed. Oh. And you will see thousands of stories from around the world of vegan parents thrown in jail for starving their children.
There's nothing you can get from fat. It's essential. I can't get on a vegan diet.
That is nonsense.
Oh, mate.
I can get vegan from flax seeds.
No, you can't. They're unabsorbable. You think hunter-gatherers were picking, like, loads of flax seeds?
I don't care.
No, you don't care.
Do you have a dog?
Yeah, I do.
Does the dog eat meat?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't eat meat?
No. He hasn't ate animals for 6 years, so he's completely plant-based.
That's not natural.
It's not natural for dogs to be in our homes, is it? So...
What are you talking about, man?
The heart exists, caring is, but not your made-up ethics that you have to make everyone else measure by your own ethics.
He's saying, if you believe you're a loving person, why do you still go and kill an animal if you know you can survive otherwise?
I know that I can't survive otherwise.
You're obviously not that loving.
You don't know my main premise.
I'm judging you by you having a fucking live fish in your hand.
Okay.
This is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do.
Did you just tell me to shut up?
Yes, you catch on straight away.
Do you want to hear my premise? I was 15 years part of the vegan movement. It made me very sick. So now I'm warning other vegans that they are very likely to get sick. Thousands of vegans are getting ill.
Anecdotal evidence. We rely on scientific evidence to make our claims. You know what I'm saying? In my life, it made me ill.
Are you sure about that?
Without hurting animals, if you could be healthy with being vegan,
I don't believe
would it be
it's
a moral,
possible.
Would it be a moral obligation?
To yes. What?
To be vegan.
Yes. If you could be... Well, not really,
why?
No. Because you can't be healthy. Oh. I'm an expert in it.
Me? Wait, so who's getting their whoppers,
I mean, nothing's natural here.
What would your opinion on? Well, I've seen your videos, but in person. How do you find it as animal abuse?
Well, I just think throat slitting, taking their babies away from them, macerating male chicks in the egg industry, murdering the baby male calves in the dairy industry is all...
So, in Africa, you have like a lion, right? And you have a goat, something, anything. They kill that to eat it.
The lion.
We kill a baby cow to eat it. What's the difference?
We're actually all animals, by the way. Humans are animals. So...
Exactly. So what's the difference?
Tens of thousands of years, they've been wrong. Humans have been wrong. And you're the first correct people.
Our ancestors were just
yes, through meat!
So they've been bad for 100,000 years?
Yes!
Yes!
Whoa! And
hey, mate, we've been killing each other.
Evil for people! Yeah. Evil! Whoa! So our grandmother and grandfather were evil?
No. We're not calling you a bad person.
What are you saying?
I do not think you're a bad person for eating animals.
Yeah?
But we're doing a bad thing. Good people do bad things all the time.
So I'm doing a bad thing.
But how are you to judge it's a bad thing to begin with?
Well, Jesus.
You don't...
My question is, why does chucking paint over Big Ben, desecrating Trafalgar Square with red dye, destroying supermarket shelves and so on, how does that persuade me, who already likes eating meat, why are you going to persuade me by being a vandal?
Yeah, I think we're in an incredibly difficult position at the moment because we've been...
Why are you making it any easier?
Rejected.
Right.
Dolphins, for example, they eat fish.
Yeah, they're an obligate carnivore, so they need to do so for survival, whereas we are omnivores, which means we can thrive on a complete plant-based diet.
Pure fiction. It's fiction.
Humans have developed some foods that actually can are synthetic and carnivores can live from that. For example, you can have vegan cats.
Vegan cats.
I'm talking about other people's subjective morality as well. If I stab an animal in front of you, you're not going to like it.
I actually don't mind it. I've butchered my own animals.
Can I stab you now? Can I stab you? Is that wrong?
There is no moral ground for that.
Morals don't exist in nature. You don't think
if your argument is based on morals, yes. There's no argument.
It's all well, you'll say that, but if you were the victim, you would not say that. You'd say it's wrong.
Yeah, no animal likes when something bad happens. Yeah. The animals that get eaten in nature don't like it.
Yeah, if I use your logic, I can go and slap you in the face. I can slap you in the face out.
Yes, you could.
These guys seem more intelligent than you.
Off you go. The floor is yours.
Why are all Collingwood supporters vegan?
Oh,
I don't know.
Because you need teeth to chew meat.
Oh,
Byron!
Boya!
Byron, that is not fair!
He's a cheeky bugger, isn't he?
We own a farm. If I grow my own cattle from when they're young, they're not raped, they're not tortured, they're not anything. If I kill them humanely and then butcher them myself, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not going
But anymore. Wouldn't you say that's animal abuse?
It's the way that we've lived for thousands of years. What do you get out of doing what you're doing? Are you trying to change people's opinions on it? Are you trying to change their way of life? Because we all watch your social media and it's clearly not working.
It is.
Keep telling yourself that, darling.
Veganism is rapidly growing thanks to animal rights activists.
And I don't know anyone you persuade. I haven't heard anyone go, you know what? I was a meat eater and I saw Big Ben being desecrated, this great monument of this country. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go and give up meat and start eating gruel.
The purpose of protest is not necessarily to win over people, it's to bring
the. Annoy us? Yeah, but we know the conversation. You're a vegan.
Okay, and that's our podcast today because I had a 20-minute. Vets React to Action Flick, which I had to play from Black Rack of Coffee with Tim Kennedy. It is so good because it's what I do to every fucking war movie. My wife just fucking hates it. So enjoy. It's our lighter.
But then they done forgot that they're going to go and grab a couple of active Green Berets that are just coming back from war and put them on a team together and think that anybody's going to be able to hang.
He's screaming right now. He's screaming.
Yeah, he felt that sim round. I saw that arch back. Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, so riding down into a village of a bunch of Mujahideen on horseback. Do the intro. Welcome. Yeah, yes, go ahead. Go
All
ahead.
Right,
no, really, really, go ahead.
Welcome to Black Rack of Coffee.
God damn it.
Welcome to Black Rifle Coffee's Veterans React. I'm Richard Ryan. Today I'm joined by Tim Kennedy and Matt Best.
Hello, YouTube and things.
Carbon stained pillows, hands smell like lead. Under my mattress, gun safe as my bed.
Hey
Everybody should feel bad for this man to our left, your right, because trying to work with us, I mean, imagine hanging out with a bunch of hamsters that did a bunch of cocaine. They're all in heat, and they're looking at a bunch of female hamsters that are on the other side of a cage.
I love it. Y'all's energy is
fantastic. Bring it up, Richard!
It's fantastic.
You're at a two.
I think I capped the mic.
I mean, like,
Sorry, Ronnie. Just for your viewer edification, we did not take cocaine.
No.
All right, let's cue them up.
I hate that flag. I hate that flag. I hate that flag. I hate that flag. I hate that flag.
Screen record, sync.
Okay, you should never clap while there's a swastika.
Yeah, Richard just clapped
to a swastika.
Wow, dude.
Wow.
What is this?
Wow.
Okay, that is real Antifa right there.
So, you want to go overseas, kill some Nazis.
Skinny dude, you know he's not down with the killing of a bunch of people, like maybe 12 million all throughout Europe.
I don't want to kill anyone. I don't like bullies. I don't care where they're from.
Oh, I love this scene. This is a great scene. He's like, hey, those are our boys over there. And that dude's like lipping off inside the movie theater. And he stands up to the big bully.
Just start the cartoon.
Hey, you want to shut up?
Together with allied forces, we'll face any threat, no matter.
Oh, there's the
shadowing.
Nice.
I learned.
I can do this all day.
Isn't it a little weird with Captain America, though? He's like this skinny kid, and they just inject him with a bunch of steroids, and he's like, goodbye.
You know, I thought that was kind of interesting choosing that, too, because you're pretty vocal about that, right? Because there's some things going on in the UFC and everything.
I get that they wanted to have the person with the biggest heart.
Of course.
And taking a guy that has a lot of God's given gifts of being big and strong, that guy may not have the heart.
Yeah.
That's not true, though. Like, how many dudes did you work with that were complete studs? And like, there's nothing you could do to turn the heart off, right? Their will to fight.
Absolutely.
So why not get one of those guys?
Well, there are already so many big men fighting this war. Maybe what we need now is a little guy, huh?
Maybe those guys were actually gonna be utilized, and this guy's just a throwaway.
Yeah, they just wanted to test.
Yeah.
Test dummy.
That's what you don't understand. This isn't about me.
I love that the army's going back to those greens and browns.
Gentlemen, I'm Agent Carter.
It's a good look.
It is a good look.
It's a good look.
Yep.
You get a RASA? Because I got a few moves I know you'll like.
Oh! Ooh. The good right cross!
I can see that you are breaking in the candidates. That's good.
Okay, and this random super hot chick that's evaluating all these studs.
You have no idea how to talk to a woman, do you?
Never saw her. Did you ever see her?
No.
I think this is the longest conversation I've had with one.
I mean, occasionally, like overseas, you have the analyst walked in to give a brief and you're like...
No, I'm talking at boot.
Oh, God, no.
That flag means we're only at the halfway point. First man to bring it to me gets a ride back with Agent Carter. Move!
This reminds me of Richard Ryan when he put Woodford in him. He tries to climb the pole.
Nobody's got that flag in 17 years. Now fall back in line.
Those poles are slippery.
I said fall in.
Look at that. He's a thinker.
Uh-huh. Not only is he skinny, but he also has a brain to go with that bod.
Thanks, sir.
So he's going to be in the Army and the rest go to the Marines. Just kidding, Marines.
No.
I'm kidding.
No, he's going
I
to the Air
you.
Force.
Come on, girls.
This jumping jack scene reminds me of the times that I've been overseas trying to train some of...
Afghanis.
I was going to...
Iraqis.
Any of them.
And can we do a sample of that?
Okay, here we go. Ready?
And go. That's what those jumping jacks look like right there. Google it.
We're
it's
not
great.
Joking. It's real. Oh, what is that thing? I got one of those in my room. Oh,
dude,
what is
damn,
that? That's serum.
That's the
oh,
serum.
Oh, it's going in. Oh, yeah. So it feels like.
No.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
No. Don't. I can do this.
I like that dude's glasses.
I know.
You go, jack it up, jack it up.
More?
Did they not know that it was going to be brighter? Did nobody else have glasses? Just Mr. Stark?
Hopefully it works, or they just fried their whole motherboard and the whole thing. I love the oil, too.
While we're in there, we lathered him with baby oil.
Yeah. And now she's like, okay, I'm into it.
How'd you feel?
Taller.
Yeah, touch him. You want to. It's fine.
You look taller.
So if I had Captain America ability, something I've always wanted to do is full sprint, like dive like this through a person.
Oh.
I think that you are a man of great vision. And in this way, we are much alike.
Let's say the car was coming towards me, and I'm like, and
oh,
I just
jump
through the windshield.
Oh, that's a gangster
like
move.
Like human spear through the dude's neck.
You have never seen this, have you?
Yep, and then like his head got stuck on my big butt.
It's not for the eyes of ordinary men.
No, it would be a face mask for you, like a helmet.
Exactly.
Masks are important these days,
yeah.
And I need his face as my mask. That dude's tough.
Yeah, no seatbelt too. Good
hat
roll.
Hat off to you, Nazi or red evil person.
You know, Richard should do a video on if
Here
a door stops a bullet.
Hostages.
It's weird that you say that. Should a door stop a bullet?
But did you ever do it with like a 1942?
Right, but those were like steel doors back then.
That was a different thing back then.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the Honda Civic. That guy should probably do a tactical reload because there's no way there's still bullets in that gun.
Don't.
I knew it!
No, don't!
Aw.
That's a clever move though. Are you gonna save the kid or catch the bad guy?
Go get him, I can swim.
Oh.
I want that. Do you have that?
I wish.
You get access to toys.
That's a Tesla submarine, dude.
No, seriously. Tell me if you have that. I don't. That dude swims fast. I think I'm pretty talented in the. Oh, and there's a good.
Nice.
Left cross through the window.
Nice.
Oh, and they're gonna. I would totally recover that submarine.
You're gonna wanna go grab that. Oh, damn.
Who is that guy?
Who the hell are you?
It looks like Hugh Hefner almost.
Looks like Hugh Hefner almost.
The first of many. Cut off one head. Two more. I'll take its place.
Oh, he just bit the cyanide pill.
Mm-hmm. That was stuck up in his tooth. He needs to see a dentist now.
I think he's gonna see the mortician instead.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra!
So Rich, this is 12 Strong?
Yeah, this is
12
Strong.
I have not seen this, but I heard good things about it.
I actually haven't seen it either.
So that's a Chris.
Chris Hemsworth.
Hemsworth. Did
Hemsworth.
He just hit that
Hemsworth,
private?
There's no ING.
Yeah, I don't know.
He just hit that private.
Don't salute in country.
Are you trying to get a captain killed, bro?
These are all friendlies.
Who, that guy? That's not my friend.
We don't do that.
So this is based on essentially the special forces or the group that went in to train the Northern Alliance in the first part of the Afghani war.
5 weeks ago, 19 men attacked our country. The 12 of you will be the first ones to fight back.
We've been at war for a really, really long time. This essentially is the beginning of said war in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And these homies that went in there, I mean, we're talking like cannon size balls.
Huevos,
yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, they're like, all right, 12 dudes, we're gonna a few thousand bad guys.
Yeah, Skyline the Apollo program. You know what they sent in the space first, right?
What?
A monkey.
Right.
That's some gangster shit right there.
I wanna do gangster shit. I also want DCUs back. They're so light, you know, and breathable.
Yeah.
Do they teach you in the pipeline how to ride a horse today still?
All right, who's ridden before, anyone?
Summer camp when I was 9.
Nope.
Okay.
Cut covered. Man, they have been cutting things off left and right.
That would be so cool, though, if you're going through a pipeline and they're like, today we have the week-long course of horseback riding.
God damn it. You guys look like a bunch of naturals.
Don't break the horse, dude.
That is not what the reticle looks like, but it's fine.
All right. Gotcha.
That's okay. I think in certain times in film, you have to like make it more cinematic, right? For the average viewer.
Yeah, I'm not throwing stones. It looked great.
Laser target designator. 38.65.
Target. Tanks in the open.
Here we go.
Those are cool explosions.
That's not what they look like.
Well, shit, I believe.
From an accuracy standpoint, and I wasn't there, that was some bold shit rolling up on horses like that. I wonder if they actually engaged in horses like that. But that
massive seemed, big dick move.
That's a big dick move.
One of the things that I'm having huge issues with are the lack of malfunctions I'm seeing from the AK-47. Like that guy would have to do a Type 1 malfunction. That guy right there would have to do a tap, rack, bang. No, there's no way that they're gonna get this far into this gunfight without having some serious problems with the firearms. So riding down into a village of a bunch of Mujahideen on horseback with an ACOG, this is...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh God, here it comes. What's Richard gonna do?
I got two fun things. I got two really fun things. First up.
Why didn't you write me? Why? I waited for you for 7 years.
Get this old hand right to this.
Yeah, so Tim and I recreated the notebook.
I wrote you 365 letters. I wrote you every day of the year.
You wrote me?
Yes.
This was like, what, 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm. It still isn't over.
And then they ruined our party. We're out here in the rain having fun.
Having a moment, and I get hit in the face with a trash can.
What the f***? We've been calling you guys for like 15 minutes. The food's here. Let's go.
Oh, okay.
Here's Tim. Looking disgusting, and there's Matt looking good. One of the regrets I'm gonna have to live with for the rest of my life, and I have lots of regrets, is how short that kiss was.
It's not over.
I don't even know if you remember, but like the first time we met was like, what, fucking 8 years ago?
It was a minute. It's a hot minute.
So I actually have that.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, like,
take us down memory lane, Richard.
Like, remember Ultimate Soldier Challenge?
It's America versus the world in a showdown of strength and skill.
I got you, man.
Yeah, it was a fun day.
You want to tee it up?
All right, Ultimate Soldier Challenge, they were going and grabbing different special operations units from around the world and contractors, and they'd put them into teams, and then they would have those teams compete against each other to determine like the best.
Who's the best?
Best
yeah.
soldier. But then they done forgot that they're gonna go and grab a couple of active Green Berets that are just coming back from war and put them on a team together and think that anybody's gonna be able to hang.
I'm totally confident that any fight that we go in, we're gonna win.
Like you could go to any regiment, you could go to any group, and you could randomly walk into any team room and grab two random dudes and they would just clean house in this environment, right?
Because
that's what they do.
Yeah, that's all they do. Oh yeah, the sniper one.
Your mission is to take out the guy at the top of your tower, then take out the tower itself.
None of the weapons were properly zeroed.
For this challenge, you'll have the Steyr SSG-08. It fires a .338 Lapua.
There's a pretty clear dirt patch just to the right of the things that we're supposed to shoot that are packed with Tannerite and they blow up and fall over. So like, I tell Matt, I was like, hey, I'm gonna zero our weapon. So I go over, I aim at this rock and I shoot.
Missed.
And I see the impact. I'm like, all right, 1.4 to the right.
Yeah.
Got it. We're good to go.
Yeah.
So then, you know, like, the first miss was me zeroing my gun.
The top target is down.
How far is that shot?
The operators will have to nail them from 300 yards away.
Oh, okay.
But the rogues are taking aim.
Got it. Nice shot.
Rogue squad.
So they were contractors.
Oh.
Those guys were super cool, though.
Come on! You bitch.
I like this event because it was cool visually. Mm-hmm. Look how far that way is.
Mm-hmm.
But the Green Beret, Tim, is fully focused in his sniper bubble.
Look at that.
There you go.
And the U.S. wins the immunity round.
Get down!
This was another moment where, like, we did this in, like, 6 minutes.
The operators will move into this village and try to neutralize 5 enemy combatants who will be firing back.
The next team to us was, like, 40-something minutes.
Our guys need to find a computer tower and a laptop hidden in either the cantina, the church, or the feed store.
Whoa.
Yeah, these poor Op 4 that they had in there, we'd, like, pie around a corner, and they're like, looking out, like, out into the way that everybody's coming in, and we're like, we're just gonna have to do it. We'd like zip them up, like.
Yeah.
It just sucked.
Remember, they're firing simunitions.
Yeah, look at that. Way to go, Matt.
They've taken down enemies 2 and 3.
I mean, they sold the deaths pretty well. Were those sims or what you're shooting?
Sims. Like,
yeah.
The most realistic non-lethal ammo that can be fired from actual guns.
Oh, they look pretty protected though. Oh yeah, they got like...
There it is. The files are in the computer. Of course they're in the church. I think that's where Kill Bill happened.
No.
Now another critical decision, how to get to the third building, the feed store.
Let's go back the same way we came.
Let's go back the same way we came. Mm. That's important.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why go to the unknown when you could go to the known?
Very smart strategic and tactical decision making.
Look, this is the one I was talking about, this poor guy.
That other dude in there is like, fuck, they're coming, they're coming.
Excellent work. Special Forces, you have won the Ultimate Soldier Challenge. Congratulations, guys.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, baby face.
So young.
One of the most intense matchups on USC is the kill box. How you win the round is simple. Land more center mass kill shots than the other guy.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, but they have pistol sims here, but we had to use AKs, right?
I would clean house on this.
That was so much fun.
I would clean house.
So it was cool because the way that the doors opened, you didn't know where the guy was coming from, right?
The kill box looks like too much fun for me to miss out on, so I got a chance to go up against one of the Army's finest.
I am Tim Kennedy.
You look scared, Rich.
I feel great about it. Dude, I was like, I've never been shot by sims before. I don't know what to expect.
We're gonna be locked in a 30 by 30 box with guns.
For 30 seconds. 30 seconds with Tim Kennedy.
I like Tim's already giving you a pep talk like he does. It's cool, bro. I won't fuck you up too bad,
it's
man.
It's great. He's going, I'm going to fuck him up.
Yeah.
CQB is not new in any way, shape, or form to me.
Well, I didn't know anything about you. They're like, there's like the super famous personality dude that like does all these things with guns. I was like, what does that mean? I didn't know who you were.
No, I put that out there. I'm not even close to being an expert.
Hot on both sides.
So it's you versus Richard right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm still circling, closing in on him. Now I got him. He's screaming right now. He's screaming.
Oh, yeah, he felt that sim round. I saw that arch back.
This is me running away.
One here, and one here.
You're like an artist showing your painting. So as you see here, I've covered his whole freaking body.
Nothing. Clean.
I think that's it.
Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah,
it's always a pleasure to hang
out.
You're super entertaining, and we love you.
If you guys want to learn more about Tim Kennedy, we'll put links in the description below. And
good shit. And that wraps up another episode of Flyover Politics Podcast. Share with your family and friends. Go to Flyover Politics K at SoundCloud. Rumble 482-467. Old Dude Music Review is 553-2123 on Rumble. You can email the show at foppodcast@gmail.com. foppodcast@gmail.com. Disconnect from all your devices. Don't give the yeah-yeahs. And I'll see you next episode. Take care.